Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry, where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.
Serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity Online Radio. Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Rhodes, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Today is the fourth in our series, focusing on the spiritual journey, the passions, and the insights of well-regarded Unity ministers. I did the first series back in the fall. It was a wonderful time. And we're doing it again, and I'm today with the Reverend Charlene Manuel. It's a joy to welcome her to the show. Reverend Charlene has served as Senior Minister of Unity Center of Miami for over 20 years. She also serves as online adjunct faculty member and instructor for the Unity Urban Ministerial School. She's done so many things over the years. She's a board consultant as well, offering trainings and retreats for spirit-led boards throughout the country. She has a master's in human resources development and is also the author of 5 books, including the delightful children's book, Do Puppies Pray, which I recently gave to my granddaughter, and she loved it. She's a member of the board of Unity World Headquarters, and is also dedicated to global peace, and has attended the Parliament of the World's Religions 3 times. So she's also traveled quite a bit too, because they were in Barcelona and Melbourne and then Salt Lake City, I believe. So it's a joy to welcome Charlene Manuel, Reverend Charlene Manuel, to today's show. Welcome, Charlene.
Oh, thank you so very much. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you for asking me to join you today.
Absolutely. We're thrilled. So I usually ask ministers, you know, what their early life was like, because very few of us actually were born in Unity, right? We came to Unity later in our lives, but we had possibly a spiritual tradition that we followed as younger people, or perhaps not. So what's your experience?
Paul John, when coming up, my mother did make sure that we went to church mostly every Sunday. My mother was truly a woman of faith. She had great faith and believed in the power of prayer and all of that. But my challenge was coming up in the church where I grew up, I just didn't believe what they were saying. My thought about God from early on as a child is that God was a loving God, and that wasn't the message that I was getting at the church where we grew up. So I couldn't wait to turn 18 so I could tell my mother I wasn't going back to that church anymore. and that's exactly what I did.
Now, you grew up in the South, did you?
No. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, Detroit. Okay.
And at that time, my mother, later on in her life, she was introduced to Unity. And so she did have a change of thought about God and religion and faith and all that later on in her life. But at that time, we grew up in a traditional church and, you know, hellfire and brimstone. And I would sit there as a kid and I would just cringe because I'm like, who are they? What kind of God are they talking about? I didn't get it. I never believed that from. So I think that's something I brought with me from a former life that, you know, God is love. And I've always thought that. And it was much later in my life then that I eventually found a Unity Church and thought, okay, well, if your God is love, then okay, I'm willing to listen to you.
So when you turned 18, did you say bye-bye church? Or did, you know,
well,
you
I did, because I thought, you know, all churches were like that. I thought it was simply, quote-unquote, organized religion, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I really left all forms of church, except for weddings and funerals, like, you know, many other people, until maybe in my late 20s. And then had three very distinct experiences that then led me back to not really to church, but led me to Unity. And then, okay, when I embraced the Unity message, everything changed. Everything changed for me.
Yes. And so that was still in Detroit, was it, when you found Unity there?
Yeah, I was in Detroit, and my mother found herself at, you know, because by the time she found Unity, she wasn't really driving anymore. So she used to get a lot of the Unity material from Unity Village, and she subscribed to the Daily Word and all of this stuff and would send for books and that kind of thing. And so she had more books, but she wasn't really going to a church. Eventually, she ended up at Detroit Unity Temple, and because I was the youngest child at home, I had the honor of driving her to church on Sunday mornings. Well, some Sundays I would just sit in the car because I wanted to have nothing to do with quote-unquote church. And then I, you know, every now and then I'd go in, and I thought, I got to sit here through church, like, seriously. And I did that, but, you know, I really wasn't ready to embrace Unity until much later. And I tell you one experience that I had that, you know, led me to a point. And my mother, by that time, you know, again, I'm taking her back and forth to church when I could. But I was going through a really difficult time myself. A young girl, married, divorced, you know, still, you know, very young, and was having some financial challenges, living with my sister. So I went to my mother's house, and I said, Ma, I need some money, and I pleaded my case, you know, trying to get some money from my mother to help me and my little infant and da-da-da-da-da. And she sat there, and she listened for a while. And then she got up from the living room sofa, and she went into her bedroom, and I thought, oh, good. She's going to go get her checkbook, or maybe she's got some cash back there, and she's going to give me some money, which is what I was asking for. But she came back with a book in her hand, and she handed me this book. And so, you know, my thinking was, well, maybe the check is in the book. So I'm looking through the pages of the book, looking for the check. No check. And finally, I said, Ma, what's up? You know, what is this? She said, read this book, and this lady will tell you how to get the money you need.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I'm like, Ma, I was so upset with my mother. But the title of that book was Open Your Mind to Prosperity by Catherine Ponder. And, I mean, what else? What other choice did I have? So I really started to read that book, and in that book, Catherine Ponder has a chapter in there on doing a treasure map. So I did my first treasure map, totally out of desperation. It's like, listen, I have, you know, I got to do this. And in 6 months, this is the interesting thing, in 6 months I went from living in my sister's spare room with no job, no car, to having a brand new car. This was 1972. It was 1972, And I bought a brand new 1973 Chevrolet Monte Carlo, gold and black.
Sweet.
Beautiful car. Oh, my God. I had a job. I had the job that I had something called tuition reimbursement, which I'd never heard of, and I wanted to go back to college. So we had that. I had a new apartment, all new furniture in 6 months.
Wow.
So what really happened for me, Paul John, is that I became extremely curious. I wanted to know how that all happened like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was out of mere curiosity that I said, I got to find out what just happened here, because it worked. It was wonderful. But I need more information. How does something like that really happen? And that really became what I wanted to satisfy my curiosity about. How does this even work? Yeah.
Fascinating. And and your mom at that time was, you know, practicing tough love, wasn't she? It's not easy to do. You know, it's the teaching the person to fish rather than handing them a fish, right? Which is, she was
exactly.
giving you a great gift, really, because she was acting metaphysically. She wasn't just satisfying your immediate physical needs. She was teaching you how to satisfy every need by understanding what's, you know, underlying the provision. And what a gift that is, isn't it? And like you said, at the time it was, you know, very irritating, but I'm sure now
was.
You look back and say, thank you, Mom. You know, that was a
yeah.
wonderful
moment. Yeah. That was exactly, you know, that was exactly right, because I can remember being really upset with her. I'm like, you're my mother. You're supposed to help me. And
yeah.
Later on, when I went back and all these wonderful things had happened, and I, you know, then I started, you know, asking her a lot of questions, because I was just curious how this thing works. And so she says, well, why don't you go to the Unity Church? This is the kind of message that you would get at the Unity Church. And I still wasn't in the church, but I was so curious that I wanted to at least get more information to find out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you know, once you get more information, you got to get more and more and more and more and more. So, you know, there you have it. But it was, you know, and it's interesting. I tried that same message with my children when they came, you know, after, you know, graduating from college and we're having a money conversation. I gave them the book, Open Your Mind to Prosperity, and they said, Ma, you've told us this story so many times that this is what your mother did for you, but we think you should just give us the money.
There we go. Well, I think many of us have, you know, been inspired by the classic writer Catherine Ponder, right? And she's almost got a sort of a legendary mystic feel in Unity, because she wrote book after book on these subjects, and supposedly, you know, became very wealthy as a result of her ability to practice these principles. So I know many people who have said, yeah, that's the first book I read, you know, and it really really changed my life, because she had an exuberance in her writing, didn't she? When you read the book, you cannot help but be inspired, you know, and there's a sizzle to what she writes. It's like there's no room for any kind of doubt, you know. This is absolutely the truth. It's going to work, you know, and I think it's very inspirational.
Absolutely. And that was what I really needed coming out of the church where I grew up, because I came out of that church with a feeling, a sense of helplessness. Because basically, you know, what they told me is that I was going to probably go to hell. And I thought, well, if I'm already going to go to hell, then why do I need to come to church just for you to tell me that over and over
yeah,
again?
That's true.
So
yeah.
It gave me a sense of hope. And another situation after that experience, and then I'd gone to the Unity Church really just out of mere curiosity, and I went to Westside Unity Church, where Reverend Ruth Mosley was the minister there. And I'm sitting there, and I mean, she's really talking what I needed to hear. And I thought, well, she can't do this every Sunday, so I'm just going to come back as many Sundays until this lady runs out of, you know, good stuff to say, and, you know, then this is going to be it. But every Sunday I was back for more and more. And one Sunday she said there are spiritual laws, and if you will learn these spiritual laws and live by them, your life will be better. And I thought, spiritual laws? They never told me about spiritual laws in the other church where I grew up. And from that, and that was a turning point for me, because I showed up the next Sunday with a notebook in hand. I moved from the back of the church to the front row because I wanted to write down these spiritual laws so I could start living them. Because what it gave me was a sense of hope for the future. In how I had grown up with religion, there is no hope. But that gave me, this said, okay, Charlene, you're empowered now. You're empowered. If you learn these rules, if you learn these guidelines, if you learn these tools and then apply them to your life, there's nothing you can't do. And that's the message I wanted to hear. That's mm-hmm. what changed for me.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were how old then when you thought about the idea of becoming a Unity minister?
Well, see, now here's the thing. That I was in my early, I was maybe mid-20s then, but I didn't, it took me years and years and years to get to the point where I accepted that I was really going to go into ministry. Because because my concept of what a minister was came from my years of growing up, and what I saw as minister growing up in the church where I grew up was not something I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, that was still in the back of my mind. So though I loved the Unity teachings, I'm very surprised years later that I actually finally went through it, but I was just guided step by step by step, and it's just amazing to me, looking back, how just you realize that sometimes you're just divinely guided, and you're being guided, and you don't know you're being guided. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I was really just guided every step of the way and had no idea that that's where the trail would lead me, to end up moving to Kansas City, just because I'm on my my walk one morning and a clear voice said move to Kansas City, and because it was so clear and I had prayerfully asked for guidance, I jumped up and just did it and didn't know what I was going there for. And it took me couple years even after that before I actually applied to the ministerial program and was accepted. And even then, I mean, I don't know about your experience. My first year in the ministerial program, I was like, I'm really just here to get the information. I'm really not going to be a minister. I wanted to learn. I wanted to grow myself. I wanted the information for me. I wasn't going to give it to anybody else. I just wanted to work it in my own life.
Well, I guess
and here I am, you know, 22 years later.
it's what they used to call the hidden curriculum, right?
There's
the things you learn on the outer, but then there's all the things you're learning about yourself on the inner. And it seems like a full-time job, you know, just to integrate some of these principles. You know, like you say, without thinking about, you know, how can I teach this to others? Yeah.
No, I was going to be very selfish with my spirituality. I just wanted to learn it for me. I wanted my life to be better.
I know you to be a very unselfish person, so that sounds sounds quite ironic now. But you know, having given so much, so many years of service to others. But you know, it's interesting you're being very honest about that, and I think the. Mm-hmm. The best ministers are the ones who you are honest and humble, you know, and share their story. And because it's not just then an overlay, you know, of, oh, that sounds nice. You know, it's real because it's honest about where we've been, where we've, how we've developed and unfolded. Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'm with Reverend Charlene Manuel. We're talking about her life, and let's take a break right now and listen to these messages from Unity. When we come back, we'll ask Charlene about her passions, what she's passionate about. So when we come back. Join us then. But enjoy these messages from Unity. Check out my website, pauljohnroach.com. I've been blogging recently. Check some of those blogs out. All my latest sermons and radio shows are on my website too. So go to that if you've got a minute, pauljohnroach.com. And join us in a couple of minutes after these messages.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives.
I will leave this world as it is.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things. As she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find my God.
You've been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to this second segment in our show. I'm with Reverend Charlene Manuel, and we're talking about her spiritual experiences, how she found unity. Growing up in a less than wonderful church environment with a focus on judgment and hell and damnation, and many of us have experienced that, unfortunately. But then finding unity and finding principles that are expansive and talk about a God of love. And I like to think that there's really only two choices here that, you know, you eventually come to, and that is this universe a place of judgment? Is God a God of judgment, or is a God of love? And in unity, we would say God is absolute love. And it seems that if you truly read the Bible, especially the New Testament, you come to that same conclusion. Although sometimes I tire of opening the Old Testament. I don't know about you, Charlene, but every time I open it, you know, somebody's getting smited and destroyed by this angry God, and it's sad. You know, I have to really work the metaphysics to understand what that really is saying. But I get, you know, oh no, not again. You know, you open up every book of the Old Testament, somebody's being destroyed. It's tiresome.
Well, you know, I felt like that for so long too. But you know, in my later years, I can read the Old Testament, and how I read it now. Even we certainly do our metaphysical interpretation of the scripture. But when I read that, it sounds to me like people going through a difficult time, and they made it through. Now, too bad they blamed God for that, but. They just missed that one little piece, that empowerment piece that, you know, God isn't punishing us. We are, if we do experience punishment, it is by the deeds that we ourselves have done. So once we learn that and take responsibility for our thinking, for our words, for our actions, everything changes. So when I read the Old Testament, I can read it and say they just missed that one little piece to take responsibility for their actions, but they still made it through.
Right.
You know what I mean? They still made it through, and that's the kind of God that we are a part of. That's the kind of universal love that we're a part of, that even on our worst day, when we're not being the best of who we are, God still loves us with an everlasting love, and we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. It's just a matter of how you want to get to okay. Do you want to go kicking and screaming and suffering? Or do you want to go with a smile on your face saying, I'm a part of this, and as I change my thoughts, as I'm mindful of my actions, as I use compassion for others in the world, you know, I can get through whatever it is that I'm going through, and it's going to be great. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. So I'm in my later years, I've come to enjoy some of the Old Testament stories better than I did in former years.
There we go. Well, that's good. I think it was Frank Giudice, you know, the great Unity minister and teacher, that said, you know, if you have a hard time with the Old Testament, instead of using the word Lord, which comes up a lot, L-O-R-D, change it to law, L-A-W.
Exactly.
And that's really the redressing of the law, you know, the redressing of the balance. We've gone out of kilter because we bought into egoic ways of thinking, and so that it has to be that coming back of the pendulum to the center. And sometimes it swings in all kinds of directions before it comes back to center. That made sense to me, you know, that it's the law redressing itself rather than an angry God.
Exactly.
So,
learn passion. To put the blame where it belongs.
What is your passion right now? What has sustained you in 20? You've been in Unity Church of Miami, their center of Miami, for over 20 years. You're still going strong. What's been the guiding passion?
Well, I actually love, you know, I love that Unity refers to itself as a positive path for spiritual living. That is exciting to me because I think sometimes people even think this too, that, you know, Unity, you come, you learn a couple of principles, and then you disappear because your life is all fixed and you're wonderful and that's it. And I really enjoy that this is a path, and I'm a planner. So I like to know if I'm on the right path, I'm actually going somewhere. And that idea that this is a positive path, that means I learn these principles, but I have to use them every single day in every activity, every person that I meet, and getting those in the minds and the hearts of young people is something that excites me, or people who do not normally have access to this kind of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And have a sense of being lost. I mean, just really lost, to wake up day after day and say, I want to change my life, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do that. And to have our Unity principles available to people like that is exciting to me. One of the things that I have enjoyed mostly about and being in the church where I am, we've done many mission trips, and we built a school in Haiti. We did participate in summer camps in Haiti for children. We went to Africa and built wells in Africa, and when we went there, we took school supplies and personal items and even toys and stuff for the kids. And so, in the little village where we built a well, he was considered the mayor of the village, and he met with our group. And there were about 23 of us. He met with our group, and we gave them all these gifts, and we gave them things for the books for the kids and all this stuff and the water well. And he looks at us and he says, what through a translator. He says, why are y'all doing this? And we said, because we wanted to do something good in the world. And he said, well, who are you? We told him we have come from Unity Church. We told him a little bit about Unity. And he said to us, and we were in Mali, and he said to our group, you know, not only thank you for coming and doing all that you're doing, he said, but today your religion is unity. Today our religion is unity for what you have done for us.
Yes. Wow.
And I thought, see, this is awesome. This is what we want to do in the world, just be in that place. And we didn't go there. We didn't do this. We didn't do it to try to change anybody's mind or make them, you know, follow the Unity teachings or anything. We simply did it from that place of love and giving and compassion. And how they received it is they wanted to know, who are you and why are y'all doing this and what does this mean that you would come, you know, to our country and to our village and bring such great gifts that's going to benefit the people here.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
exciting to me, man. That is exciting stuff. We went to Costa Rica a couple of years ago when we had a school that we identified that we wanted to support. So we went to Costa Rica, a group of us, and we took a bunch of school supplies and personal items and gifts for the kids and for the teachers. And again, they were so excited that we had come and brought these many gifts. And then they asked us, well, tell us about your unity that causes you to do this. So, you know, that's different from, you know, standing on the street corner saying, yeah, everybody, you know, needs to come to Unity. So, you know, because that's the way to be. This is the way. And it's like just being who we are in the world, being the love that God created us to be. And then people want to know. People are curious. So what are you doing? What is it that caused you to be so compassionate? Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our opportunity to just to spread love and peace and harmony and joy in the world. So that's what really excites me when I can be a part of experiences like that. We in our church, we've done summer camps here for kids, and that's one of the things I would love to see more Unity churches doing summer camps, because you know, you have your own children in your own youth program, but when you open it up to a summer camp, you get kids who've never been to your church, and of course their adult parents have to bring them or, you know, be aware that where they are. But the point is, and we don't stand there and say we're teaching you Unity principles, but it comes through in who you are being. It comes mm-hmm. through in who we are being, and being that compassionate, loving, peaceful presence in the world, and have that be modeled for others to see. And whether they ever come back to the Unity service, they will take that with them. And I think that's how we change the world, quite frankly. Not by everybody being Unity, but everybody understanding love, peace, and harmony, and compassion. And that's really what we want. Yeah.
Well, I think that's more true today, too, because, you know, less people are coming to church, per se, so they say, you know, and if you look at the trends and statistics, but people are being influenced by the message in other ways, you know, social media, podcasts, things like World Spirituality, you know, and all the other radio on this network, all the other shows on the network, and all the work that Silent Unity and Daily Word does, because it reaches numerous people who aren't involved with Unity, but like what we do. You know, they like the energy that's involved, and I think that's wonderful. It's okay to see the church without walls, right? We're moving beyond the old-fashioned way of looking at church as a building, and see it more as a consciousness spreading out into the world. So there's quite a few Unity churches in Miami, right? Is yours a big center? How big? It sounds like it is.
The largest center here is Unity on the Bay. And there are, let me see, that's always a good question when people ask me. I think there are maybe around in Miami proper, maybe five unity churches, English speaking, and then I think there are one, two, three that are Spanish speaking. And in our community, in our church, we also have a Spanish ministry within our church. We have an English and a Spanish service. So having that kind of diversity is a wonderful dynamic. In fact, we do some of our services bilingual, like tomorrow night. We will have our bilingual Ash Wednesday service as we, you know, begin the Lenten season. And I just love doing that. We do our candle lighting, our Christmas Eve candle lighting service bilingual as well. And, you know, this is the thing that I love so much. I don't speak Spanish, but I got to tell you, when we do that bilingual service and we pray in English and then we listen to the prayers being given in Spanish, I mean, it's one, you know, you don't even need to, you can feel the spirit and the energy of it. And man, that, again, that's, isn't that why we do this, you know, this work? So we can feel that oneness. You don't have to even know the language to feel the very spirit of life and harmony and God and all of that, just to feel it in your spirit. And you walk away saying, okay, this is good.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of talk lately in Unity about, oh, well, everybody else has got it now. You know, the Methodists is talking Unity. Oprah is, you know, Joel Osteen and all these people. We don't have our niche anymore of the Unity message. And there's a sense like Unity is declining or whatever. Where are you on that? Do you believe that, or do you think it's just shifting in another direction?
Well, I think when I stand back and look at the world, and I'm looking at the what's going on in the outer, not only in our country and in our world. Listen, as many people who can get these Unity principles out there, I don't care what they call them, just get them out there, because I think we need it.
Yeah.
I don't care who puts it out there. I just know we need it.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
So, you know, wouldn't it be great the day that when the day will come when we take down all the barriers to people being loving and kind to one another, and they can say, you know, that they're Muslim or Jewish or Christian, and it's okay. It's just okay, as long as we're living compassionately with others, as long as we're, you know, following that basic rule that we understand from our scriptures. Just, you know, treat everybody else like you would like to be treated. And,
yes.
You know, when it all comes back to that, it makes no difference whether it's Unity or anybody else teaching, because the world needs as much compassion as we can pour into it. And particularly now, I think right now we're in a very important part where we really need to raise our harmony, peace, compassion quotient around the world, in our own country, in our own cities, but in the world. So I'm all for it. If Oprah and Joel Osteen and whoever else wants to teach the principles, do it. You know, because I think somewhere Charles Fillmore said that, you know, we're not really teaching anything new. You know, the truth is the truth. And however we may teach it in different ways, we may use different words, we may put it in a different format, but as long as it gets out there in the world where it's needed, I think it's great.
So are you a Fillmorean or are you a progressive? You know, are you one that wants to go back to his actual teachings and only teach that? Or do you see it unfolding, that the principles are eternal, but our knowledge and understanding of them unfold, right?
See, that's a good question, because I'm really, some would think that I'm a Fillmorean, and I say this because My understanding of Charles Fillmore's teachings come from the idea that it's truth. And I think if we just teach truth the way we understand it, we will find that we're actually teaching that which Charles Fillmore taught. Now, I do agree that there is more, but when you look at the very core of what we teach, I think if I understand the unity principles correctly, it allows a lot of room for expanding and shifting and growing. Because when I read Charles Fillmore, it is just what I believe is the truth. I may say it different. I have to maybe change some of his language, because some of his language was kind of like, oh, Charles, could you just say that, you know, you take a whole book and, you know, to say something, and you could probably just say it, you know, God is love, but, you know, he dressed it up and down and sideways and all of that. But I actually love the Charles Fillmore's teachings. Matter of fact, starting Lent, one of my favorite books is Keep a True Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look forward to this time of year every year, because I just love reading that stuff over and over and over again. But I'll say that, you know, you can add to it, you can expand it, but it's still the same message underneath whatever you teach from that. So people might think I'm a Fillmorean, because whatever I'm teaching today, Fillmore is in there somewhere. Somehow, someway, he's there.
Yeah, well, that's good. We don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Exactly.
There's core teachings that are wonderful. Very good.
And they work. They are, you know, the truth doesn't change. We may change how we see it and how we interpret it, how we understand it, how we expand it, but at the core, it's the same. God is love. There is only one mind. You know, I think he opens one of his books like that. God is the only reality. Divine mind is the only reality. He opens one, and now you can say that any way you want to, but you're going to come back to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What I'm saying? If we're talking about the unity teachings, you can say that any way you want to, but you're going to come back to that basic truth.
You're an African-American by origin,
yes.
Right? By tradition, by culture.
Yes.
So how has that informed your journey in unity? Do you think some people say we're not diverse enough in unity. You know, it's for being a radical message of inclusivity and love, we're awfully a white middle class sometimes. What's been your experience?
Yeah, we are, and you know, I'd love to see that change. And part of how I see it is, I think we are in a place where we need to be I'd like to see us be more intentional about inclusivity, about diversity. I'd like to see unity really going the extra mile to make sure that we're inclusive. And my experience is that in the past, I don't know that we have done that as a movement. And some days it feels like an uphill battle, not so much even in the community as it is in our very own movement. One of the things I saw is they did a wonderful Unity Worldwide Ministries did a calendar for Black History Month with the African American chairs of the board and two CEOs that we had who were Unity Worldwide Ministries, and they did this wonderful calendar. There are six people on that calendar: Johnny Coleman, Ruth Mosley, Jimmy Scott, Argentina Glasgow, Jim Lee, and James Trapp. And one of the things I posed the question, this is wonderful. The problem is, who knows about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knows about it in unity? Nobody. And And to me, that's very sad. I mean, you know, so we're doing some things, but I think we're going to have to be, we're going to have to really push it more. It's one thing to say, well, the reason we don't have more African-Americans serving, you know, for example, on our boards, on the two heads of our organization, or even on the staff at either of our organizations, is, you know, we put the proposal out there and no African-Americans apply. I think that it's become a bad excuse at this point, in my opinion. And, you know, I do have an opinion on this.
Yeah. And that's good. We wanted to open that up as part of this show, because we want to look at these issues, you know.
Yeah. I think we're going to have to go the extra mile to make sure that people feel inclusive, and that, you know, that there is a place for you at the table. There is a place for you in unity, and to open our arms wide and say, not just come. We might have to take by the hand, you know, grab a couple of hands, and then pull those people in for the sake of diversity. Because when we talk about and I know for your show, I saw in there that we are a global village. Well, when I look at a global village, all the people in the village don't look the same in a global village.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
They look different. They speak different. They have different cultures. And yet they're here to live together in love, peace, harmony, and joy. So I would just love us to get almost aggressive about making sure that we really do look like a global village and start to be more inclusive with the culture and our spiritual traditions together as a movement, because there's plenty of room for it.
Absolutely. Well, yes. We celebrate the fact that you are a member of the Unity World Headquarters Board, so that's good. There's some little bit of diversity there, and we celebrate also the fact that Paulette Pipe, right, another British Caribbean person who's now moved to the States, has been the keeper of the flame on the board of Unity Worldwide Ministries for several years now, and that's excellent too. I remember her offering up the most amazing transformative prayers during some of the most difficult conventions that we've had, you know, and seeing the shift in consciousness as a result of that. So it's wonderful to have her prayer energy and prayer consciousness with us. So you know, there are elements that are positive here, but I think, yes, I agree, more needs to be done.
More needs to be done, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm a champion for that.
Yes. Well, good. We want you to be, you know. Now, you know, because, you know, I grew up with sort of with a hippie background. You know, I went to India when I was in my 20s, and etc. And I'm a little more of a maverick than some. I wouldn't, you know, say that, you know, I want to put all Unity ministers in the same category. But sometimes I do, you know, feel there's not enough diversity in that area too, you know, that we need some more alternative type folks, and not just your regular folks. So there's nothing wrong with regular folks, whatever that
right.
means, but
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We just need diversity on all levels. I think, you know, gay, lesbian, transgender, that area too, you know, that needs
Absolutely.
To be opened up too, because all people are welcome in Unity.
Absolutely. We're all, you know what, and you know something, I you know, we say that all people are welcome in Unity, and I think that it's time for us to go beyond saying that everybody is welcome, because some, you know, people can say you're welcome, and then when you show up, you don't really feel that. You know,
yeah.
You said it with
yeah.
words, but what are the actions that follow up with those words?
Yes.
You know, I've been to the last three Parliament of the World's Religions, and I'll tell you one of the things that as long as I am able to travel wherever the Parliament is, I will go. But one of the things that one of the premier moments or experiences in my life has been when I attended the first parliament, actually, was in that I attended was in Barcelona, and the Sikhs have what they call langar, and that's where they have community meal, and they served at that parliament. There were 10,000 people. They served lunch every day of the parliament to 10,000 people, and there was just a moment when I was sitting on the floor, because you sit on the floor, you take your shoes off, cover your head, wash your hands, and you sit down. Everybody is sitting on the floor. And when I looked around that room and just above it, you could hear like maybe 60 languages being spoken at the same time in the same room. And you looked around and you saw all of the different cultures and people and faces, all different, and the color of different, the clothing, because, you know, some of our different traditions wear very colorful clothing. And I looked around the room and I heard all the languages being spoken at once, and I said, this is what peace on earth is like. We're all sitting on the floor. We're all eating the same thing. Nobody's better than anybody else, whether you're a president, whether you're a priest, whether you're a rabbi or school kid. We're all sitting on the floor eating the same meal in the same place. This is what
beautiful?
Peace on earth looks like. This is what it feels like, and I crave that feeling again and again and again. And I know it's possible. I know it's possible.
Beautiful.
We just got to do more to make that happen.
Well, the Sikhs are great examples of that, aren't they? Because they have this long tradition of hospitality and of feeding everyone, and it's usually very healthful, simple vegetarian food that they prepare, but delightful.
Yeah.
And and of course, the Sikh faith itself is a sort of a mix of Hindu and Muslim and other Sufism, etc. So it's a little bit like unity in some ways. You know, it brings a lot of different traditions together, and yet it's got a flavor of its own. It's not like, well, we're mixing it all up, we're all the same. I think this is important, isn't it? We can be together, we can understand each other, we can celebrate each other, but be totally different. You know, we can wear different clothes and have different viewpoints, but not one is not superior to the other. I love that idea. We're all sitting on the floor together. You know, that's a symbolic act, isn't it, of of leveling ourselves. We are one. We are one in spirit.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I what I like about the Sikhs is that the very idea is, you know, we want to live our religion. And so they fed these 10,000 people every day, and they, you know, and here I am, the first time I experienced it, I'm looking around for the offering basket, right? I'm thinking, well, there's got to be an offering basket here somewhere so I can leave an offering for this delicious food, and they serve you. And I thought, and it's like, no, there's no offering basket. This is being our religion. We serve. This is what we do. And I thought, man, how awesome is that?
I listened to an article actually on it one time on the BBC, where it talked about all the people, the women and men, who come together each day to prepare the meals, you know. And like you said, it's a total offering of love. They just do it because that's part of what they know to be the right thing to do. And other people will bring large amounts of raw materials, you know, so that the food could be made. And it all comes together because that's the will of the community. And it's a very beautiful thing. And, it just shows that spirit of what can happen when we determine that this is what we want to do. It's like coming back to you and listening, reading the Catherine Ponder book, you know, and realizing, my goodness, you know, this can change my life. It can change all of our lives. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's why we do this wonderful work we get a chance to do.
Well, I hope that everybody's listened is fired up by Charlene Manuel. She truly is a wonderful inspiration to us all. I'm so glad you've been on my show today. We'll have to do another hour because we've only scratched the surface here. There are many other things I wanted to ask you, so that's good. I'll have to get you back on sometime. Let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Charlene. Next week, author and expert in Eastern Studies, Linda Johnson, is here with me, and she's going to discuss her latest book, which is Lost Masters, Rediscovering the Mysticism of the Ancient Greek Philosophers, and how they're in so many ways similar to Eastern philosophers and practices. So that should be fascinating. Lost Masters, Rediscovering the Mysticism of Ancient Greek Philosophers. So join me then. But right now, I want to say a real heartwarming thank you to Charlene Manuel for being on the show. What a wonderful time.
Oh, thank you so very much. I had fun, and I'd love to come back again. Just invite me, and I'm here.
Yeah, it's done. You will be. All right. Thanks again, and thanks for listening, folks. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org.
Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Have you ever stood by a railroad track when a fast train was approaching from a distance? As the train came nearer, the roar of the engine and the screech of the whistle seemed to rise in pitch and become louder. As it came alongside, it seemed larger than life and ready to engulf you. Then as the train passed by, the sound became lower in pitch and loudness until at last it was merely an echo in the distance. Just like that train, sometimes our experiences appear larger than life just before they pass us by. It seems they are going to engulf us, and then suddenly, they're gone. Perhaps you are in a larger-than-life situation right now. Changing your thoughts can result in positive changes in you and the world around you. This message has been brought to you by the Association of Unity Churches International. To find a Unity Church near you, visit www.unity.org.
Benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Sometimes you feel so alone and overwhelmed, you don't know where to turn. These days, it seems like there is no end to our problems. We invite you to connect with Silent Unity, the 24-hour prayer ministry where someone is waiting to pray with you right now. Since 1890, Silent Unity has always been there. No judgment or dogma, just someone affirming the best for you. Call 816-969-2000 today. You can also connect online at unityprayervigil.org.